The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Catholic Talk Show. Today, we're going to be talking about how the internet can ruin your faith.
That's right. We're going to look at all the different areas online that are affecting your faith negatively and how to avoid them.
Hashtag unfollow, block, reported.
Good to be back in the studio with you guys.
And especially talking about a topic like this.
Yeah. Well, we've shared a little bit about it, you know, over the last, you know, year or two.
Look, if you're Catholic and you're online and you're watching this, you probably go onto other Catholic things. You're probably on Twitter. You're probably on Facebook, Instagram. God help us, TikTok, which we're on too, because, you know, we got to keep up with the internet trends.
But let's face it, some of those forums are pretty brutal.
Wow, dude. Yeah. It has gotten bad out there. You know, all these debates, all this accusatory nature, all this stuff going online in comm boxes on social media sites has really warped the sense of the body of Christ, the way that we debate issues, the way that we overcome challenges, the way that we debate, you know, the nature of our world.
Yeah.
The internet has warped this in an incredibly distorted way, and it's getting really bad out there. And for Catholics, it is darn near a civil war online.
It is, and it's terrible. There is no love of neighbor. Mm. I mean, and who is my neighbor in a digital world, right? in the digital continent? Well, it's like, how is this affecting our faith? Mm-hmm. Well, if we're not entering into communion with one another, it's clearly affecting it, mm-hmm. because there's really no constructive dialogue or discourse happening in these comment boxes.
That's right.
And that's tragic, because the internet and the hope for the internet is like, maybe this could be a perfect marketplace of ideas.
Yeah.
And maybe we could construct something beautiful for society. Yeah. It just seems like it's tearing down society and community.
It started out, like, I think about, like, when it started and how I was called by God to help bring, you know, Christ and his church through the mediums that were offered to reach people on their mobile phones and on the web and everything. And I mean, it was kind of innocuous at first, like, you know, like back when I was using Facebook, I saw like 11 years ago, I posted this. It's like a cute thing of my kid and like, you know, something funny that I saw or whatever. And now it's just like all you see, like ever since I turned Facebook off, it's like all I see is just like people and they're just like
stress and anger
and anxiety,
sadness, and
depression.
Dissatisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, and then you like read stuff. And I'm like, these people really think that the other people are listening to them, and they're not. So it's just like this constant echo chamber of...
And it's emotional reaction after emotional reaction after emotional reaction, and it's this constant catalyst.
A waste of time.
It is.
It's a waste of personal time, I think.
Now, if you haven't already blocked us and unsubscribed from us and made terrible comments on our pages, which, by the way, this is going to be fun. At the end of this episode, we're going to read a bunch of the mean comments that people have written about us, which I can't wait for because I enjoy that. Now, you guys might not like it, but...
Oh, it's great.
It's going to be fun.
I pray for people like that.
I get a kick out of it.
Yeah.
But
I cry myself to sleep.
Yeah, right.
We all handle it differently, criticism. But if you haven't done one of those things, what you should do, though, now is...
Go to Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter and follow us, okay?
And click subscribe.
Click subscribe.
Because let me tell you, we are safe harbor in this terrible digital storm.
And we're tired of thumbs down. Give us a thumbs up, okay?
Now, look, if you haven't noticed this about us, we don't really engage in the culture wars. We're not out there complaining about the liturgy six times a day, and we're not talking about, well, this priest said this, and this priest supports Biden, and this one supports Trump, and we don't really do that. I mean, we talk about it very infrequently, just enough to be able to give what we feel is a good
treatment of it.
Modest,
yeah,
middle-of-the-road Catholic commentary on it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not culture warriors.
Yeah.
We're not trying to win fights online. We're just trying to bring good, solid Catholic teaching in a
fun way.
We're not
trying to start fights online.
No. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to do something fun, like how it should be.
And, you know, having a little bit of levity, having a little bit of laughter, and hopefully sharing some faithful, you know, topics that bring about peace or greater devotion to Christ. Like, that's what we're about here.
Yeah. Yeah, like, we don't, you know, we don't do that, and it's for a reason. We consciously, all three of us, made that decision that, look, we could probably get a lot more views if we were doing the stuff that
polemic stuff.
We get polemic stuff, but we won't do it.
Mm-mm. Absolutely.
But we're going to do it today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because people are talking trash online.
And we're bringing it back.
Bring it back, Rich.
So I think the first thing, there's a few, I guess, particular issues that get debated online among Catholics all the time, right? On Twitter and on message forum boards and stuff like that.
There's still forum boards?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, that's where people just go absolutely eight balls, you know?
Yeah.
But I'll say the debate around the liturgies is probably the worst thing online.
Yeah.
It's for Catholics.
That's amongst Catholics.
I know.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the thing. I definitely, you know, trend traditional. I go to the Latin Mass.
Right.
I try to keep as many old devotions as possible.
Yeah. We all have opinions on the matter.
But the debate that has gone on around the traditional Mass has just become toxic. It is really, really bad. And no one knows how to talk about it. I mean, you'll go on one of these platforms.
If I was listening to somebody, and I'm not Catholic, and you're fighting with you about that, I don't want any part of that. Number one, I don't understand why you're fighting.
Uh-huh.
And you're not really inviting me into the conversation. And there's no beauty in that. I don't want a part of it. It's kind of like going over to somebody's house and people are arguing. You're like, maybe I should leave.
Right.
That's a great point.
You're not bringing anybody into the Catholic Church.
That's a great
Zero
point.
Zero people.
It's ugly.
We're supposed to be seeking the wounded and going out and finding them. Mm-hmm. And God puts these people in our lives. And, you know, it's not your wounded brother's not the guy that's arguing with somebody about the Latin Mass. Let me tell you, that's not him.
And that's not to say that the liturgy is not important. The liturgy is incredibly important. The liturgy can help save the world.
That's right.
But the way that the debate around it is being conducted is not helpful. Yeah. I mean, it went from just kind of like a, hey, Tridentine versus a Novus Ordo to now where there's sub-camps, there's sub-battles. It's like the total breakdown. It's like the political alliances of World War One. Well, if you said this, then I have to say this, and then this person has to come to my defense. And then it's like, trads hate trads now more than trads hate modernists because you're a semi-modern trad. Well, you're a 55 missile, and I'm a 62 missile. Oh, 55 missile, you stupid modernist. I still say everything in Greek. You know, it's gotten
so
nuts.
And so snobby.
I don't even
it's
understand
very
what
snobby.
Y'all are talking about.
It's Gnostic.
It's absolutely Gnostic. And it's
what
mechanics.
Is Gnostic? Like, you know something that's better?
You have this secret knowledge that's granted to you.
Yeah.
And all of you poor plebeians who go to your stupid Novus Ordo
that
Mass.
That would be me.
You know, for me, like, I don't spend any time in that space at all. It's very simple for me.
Yeah.
The liturgy is set by the Holy Father.
Yeah.
Period.
It's
like,
obey.
I'm Catholic.
Yeah.
The Pope's Catholic.
Yeah.
I celebrate the Mass of the Holy Father.
Yeah.
You know, period. Mm. He is the successor of St. Peter.
Mm.
The Apostolic College of the Bishops and the College of Bishops represent that succession. They tell me this is the liturgy we celebrate. I celebrate it.
Yeah, and some bishops come out and affirm the Latin Mass.
And they should.
Because I don't think that's what Pope Francis was doing, was disaffirming the Latin Mass. I think he wasn't. I don't think he was saying
I'm going to give a hot take here.
Okay.
And I'm probably going to get some hate for this.
Okay.
When the Pope released that document, Traditionis Custodes, I think I pronounced it right. I'm not sure. Where he more or less extremely limited the Latin Mass. I don't agree with it, but I understand his motivations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because he sees the trajectory of this.
He sees the trajectory. You know, it used to be like, Latin Mass, cool, great. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, well, you're not Latin enough. What kind of pronunciation is that?
Yeah.
Oh, your shoes at that Latin Mass? Are you kidding me? The 62 missile? Nice. No, 55 missile. Well, even the 55 missile was, you know, tinkered with a little bit by Pius XII. Like, it's gotten so pedantic, so Gnostic, so Pharisaical that it's obscene. Guys, this is the celebration of the Mass. This is the bloody representation of the sacrifice of Calvary.
The unbloody.
Mm-hmm. Unbloody. The unbloody. And you're sitting there more focused on what the guy next to you is doing or how the priest's pronunciation is than the transubstantiation and the true life-giving Eucharist.
And in all fairness, that's taking not everybody. Focus. No. In all fairness, no. It's not everybody.
It's not even most people. It's not even most people.
Right, right. It is just something it's a phenomenon that's occurred in those streams. And like I look at it, like the personal ordinariate, beautiful mass, it's Anglican. My wife and I are just taken aback by it. I choose to go to my parish. I love my pastor. He's a great homilist. The liturgy is beautiful. But you see all these like Catholics flocking there, and it's great. It's good to see. But sometimes you see somebody flocking there because it's like, oh, the liturgy.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, well, like I go to my parish because I'm in a community and I try to like be a part of it. Right. Like my motivation for mass is not like, okay, well, I'm here because of the liturgy. It's because I'm here because I'm a follower of Christ. I'm in a family. I love my father. Right. And that's the life of a Christian, right? Mm-hmm. In these communities.
And I need to hear the word. Mm-hmm. I need to receive the sacrament of Eucharist. And I need to receive it validly.
Yeah.
Who sets validity of the sacraments?
Yeah.
The Pope? Guys.
No, these people online on social media.
They're saying it's not valid.
Well, it's just.
That's.
We're going to get into that later,
that's
too.
Crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, it's just it's rallying these kind of warmonger, like this kind of sense of, you know, attack. Mm-hmm. And it's not it's very violent, man. I mean, it's just so violent to the body of Christ. It's so violent to the person of the Holy Father. Whether you line up with him or not, have respect for the
disagree.
Man.
If you can disagree with the Holy Father on a decision that he makes, you can disagree.
But you have to be obedient.
Of course.
You're Catholic. Course.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of football culture. Look, every Sunday, you know, man, I hate the Steelers and the Cowboys are America's not team, dude. Like, everyone just has this. And then the rest of the week, you're like, hey, buddy, what's going on? Oh, by the way, the Steelers suck.
Yeah.
These people, what are you guys doing the rest of your week? Are you guys sitting there, you go to Mass and you spend the rest of the week arguing about the semantics of the liturgy? I promise you, and I don't care if you never listen to another word I say and you unsubscribe and you talk all kinds of bad things about us. I promise you, Jesus Christ cares more about what you are doing for the poor, for the outcast, for the suffering child, for the widow.
For your family.
For your family.
The corporal and spiritual works of mercy, loving your neighbor, loving your enemy.
Than the rubrics of the Mass. I promise you that. God strike me down right at this moment if I'm wrong.
Another phenomenon is that I think in this whole process is that whereas this conversation would be mainly between two or three people maybe at work or friends over the phone or whatever, what happens now, the algorithmic sort of attribute of the internet actually facilitates even more. It's almost like hyper hysteria. And then these groups sort of calcify and then turn into like a harboring of others in this way to try to persuade them to think that.
And when you don't have the opportunity to reconcile, like we could have an argument at this table or we could have an argument together where then, you know, ultimately we're going to come back together again and say, hey, man, I'm sorry. I got upset, whatever.
Right.
You know, in a social media world, in an internet world, you may have conflict with somebody that you never have the opportunity to reconcile with because they're off to the next chat box to be able to attack somebody else.
You know, these conversations used to happen in the parish. You're right, Ryan. They used to happen in the community. Mm-hmm. And we've taken it out of that natural context. Like, it used to be, okay, well, hey, what's Father doing with the Mass? Okay, let's maybe a few of us have a discussion about this and then go to Father with them with these concerns.
Yeah.
Now it's just like, oh my gosh, the priest did this. Let's go and complain online and get this guy fired. Cancel culture. The same thing that these people typically decry, they would do as well, right? Mm-hmm. And it's really, it's concerning for the future.
It limits
of the
capacity for one to see the good in the other.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because you're getting torn down on this sort of soundbite type thing. And then now this person that you're, or this institution, you're bringing down. Now there's no like realistic personal like association with them. It's just all through these little bites. And what I'm trying to say is like like what you were saying, is sitting down with somebody and talking to them. And I see a lot of these bishops being trashed. And one in particular is the one from D.C. And he installed, I mean, he's got a great seminary. Like, the seminary formators there are amazing. And I'm like, if he's seriously trying to tear down the church, he wouldn't put these guys in there.
Now, I don't know if they were there before him or not, but, you know, but again, and
they wouldn't be able to persist there.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
look,
they might have weaknesses and other things. That's the opportunity to pray for them.
Yeah.
That's the opportunity for us to come as laity and pray for their salvation, pray for their conversion.
Mm-hmm. You know, I want everyone to go to Latin Mass. I think the Latin Mass is the most beautiful liturgy. This isn't the way to get people to go to Latin Mass. You know, and you guys touched on that. You go online, you're like, should I go to the Latin Mass? It sounds pretty cool. I love this tradition. It sounds beautiful. I'd love it. Let's try it out. Let's go read about the Latin Mass online. And you're like, oh my goodness. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Go type in the Latin Mass and try to read about it. The things that will come up are not something that makes anyone want to go to that.
That's right.
You're taking something beautiful, timeless, and traditional, and you're making it a battleground for your pride and your Gnostic preferences.
And you're taking something that is dispositionally inclusive and making it exclusive.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
To the very core of what this is, that's exactly what it is. And that is not the church that Christ established.
It's not Mass.
No.
I am sure Peter and Andrew were not throwing shade at each other, you know, writing on papyri and throwing them out there saying, you know, Andrew doesn't know what he's doing at the liturgy, you know. I'm sure it wasn't happening, right?
Oh my gosh.
And I think this also flows to another thing that's really, this one's, I think, even more grievous, is how people discuss Pope Francis online.
Mm-hmm.
Is Pope Francis my favorite pope of all time? No. Is Pope Francis a great pope? Time will tell. If I were just being a historical, critical method, probably not a great legendary pope. He's the Pope, though, people.
I know.
He's
I just pope. Don't understand. I don't understand it.
People wish him death. They're like, oh, I can't wait until this communist heretic Jesuit dies. And they think they're Catholic?
That's horrible.
You think that makes you sound or even actually still subsist as being a Catholic when you want the Pope to die? Are you out of your freaking mind?
It's shameful.
Yeah.
It is absolutely shameful.
I just can't believe it. You know, the Holy Father said, you know, when he had that surgery, he's like, I'm doing better, but a lot of people wish I would die, and everyone's like, oh, what a whiner. And dude, you know well as I do, so many people are saying, great opportunity for the Pope to die.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll get another one.
Maybe we'll get another one. Maybe we'll get Cardinal Megatrad.
Yeah.
I love Cardinal Seurat. He'd be a great Pope.
Yeah.
But, I can't wait for him to die so we can get Cardinal Megatrad, and he's going to root out all the modernists, and we're going to have all Latin Mass again. Guys, it's not going to happen.
Mm-mm.
I'm sorry. You're living in a pipe dream.
Yeah,
not going to happen, unfortunately.
You're putting your faith in men, really, you know.
But, I mean, the things they say about the Pope, shocking,
mm-hmm.
schismatic, heretic, communist spy, Freemason. You guys got to quit reading so many conspiracy theories. There's a lot of things that people watch where these kind of ideas.
And these people never read his documents.
No.
Never actually explore his position or empathically wrap their mind around the sociopolitical nature of where he grew up, mm-hmm. what's influenced his thought, what's in his heart, how he's pastorally trying to guide the flock that has been entrusted to him at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have empathy.
Yeah.
And be patient. If it's not what you're passionate about, maybe the next pope will be passionate about what you're passionate about.
Yeah.
There's people in my parish that I'm sure are not passionate about the things that I'm passionate about.
Sure.
The next pastor that comes in the parish, maybe that's going to be their charism and their thing.
But that's not faith.
That's the nature of how pastoral leadership is established within the church. But exactly to your point, that's not faith.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is with his church.
Yeah.
Yesterday, today, and forever.
Do you think they cared about liturgical preferences when they were hiding from the Romans in the sewers and dungeons of Rome and the catacombs?
And is the liturgy that they celebrated in the first century, second century, as beautiful and we should go back to that liturgy and not the Tridentine Mass?
Well,
it's a fluid reality. It has been fluid, set by the Pope, set by the apostles from the very beginning.
You know, and it's because people treat everything political now. Everything has been left and right-ized. Mm-hmm. It's everything. You're either left or you're right, or you are dead to me, mm-hmm. right? The Pope's not a politician. It's not like, oh, we got to impeach the Pope. Dude, I've seen people say impeach the Pope. Like, that means something. Like, oh, let's just impeach the Pope and we'll get a new Pope. That's not how it works.
I just saw that on when we were looking for those comments. Somebody said that.
But that's nonsensical. But it shows the...
They have no clue about church or canon law or...
It shows how bad American politics have wormed its way into their brains.
Infiltrated the church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if anything, like, you know... It just means that these people that pick these sides, and I mean they're literally manipulated.
Yeah, they are,
and they're not Gnostic. They're not very bright, you know, to be manipulated by the political structures and the propaganda and all the stuff that they put out.
Proper perspective, right? There's always going to be politics. There's always going to be different sides. But what are the forums where we can actually have conversation and dialogue mm-hmm. and come up with certain compromises in society so that we can get along and move in a good direction, in a constructive direction? You know, everybody's just kind of blasting comments all over the place, and there's no
real dialogue.
There's no real scientific dialogue. There's no real expressions of logical concern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, one of the earliest schisms or potential schisms in the church was around the quartodecimanism, right? Close enough.
Yeah.
And that was about how to calculate the day of Easter, okay? Well, should Easter happen? Look, if it's 40 days, whatever, you know, should it happen? Can Easter fall on a Wednesday? Does it always have to be on a Sunday? Mm-hmm. That was the crux of the debate. You had great saints who couldn't disagree on it, because in the East they did it one way, in the West they did it the other way. And you know what they ultimately said? You guys do it your way, we'll do it our way, and let's just move on. Mm-hmm. It's pointless to argue.
Yeah.
These are the fathers of the church, okay? Not some keyboard warrior, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes, guys, the church's a little bit more accommodating than you might like it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wants hard, fast rules, but it's not always going to be that way.
Mm-hmm. Cardinal Lorenzi, right, who was
probably
one of the most conservative liturgists in recent history,
mm-hmm.
you know, who had great love for the Latin Mass, and mm-hmm. and he came and spoke at Ave Maria University. I asked him directly. I was in his apartment with a group of students in Rome, and I asked him about the liturgy and the rubrics. And he criticized America for being overly rubricized. And he said, you know, he basically expressed that there's a number of things within the liturgy that's left for custom and liturgical expression.
Preferences,
and there has to be subsidiarity of practice within culture, because we're all different. It's the diversity that is beautiful.
Oh. And so that's the rigidity that Pope Francis refers to. Is
exactly.
Like that,
there is a massive amount of rigidity. And that's coming from somebody extremely conservative.
Yeah. Cardinal Lorenzi is one of their heroes. But if they've read that, they'd be like, oh,
they'd be like, what? Like,
well, no
he's
more.
Out. He's out now. They probably glaze over that point, and they'd focus in on something else that he said.
He would say, well, he's doing that as a concession to Africa, where they have liturgical dancing in a proper format, or something along those lines. But you're right. I mean, that kind of stuff has led to some of the rites of the church, whether they come from the Antiochian mm-hmm. tradition or the Latin tradition. If you're looking at, you know, the Ruthenians or the Byzantines or the, you know, whichever church, there is valid expressions of the same worship to the same God that still has the same efficacy.
Yeah. I mean, and this is to say that we ourselves, you know, in personal conversations, we're open to criticizing certain things,
sure.
you know, music, different liturgical practices. I remember in the seminary, we went to some college and, you know, these white women were doing this African dance, and I'm going, they're not even African, like, and there's no black people here. Like, I was just like I don't understand mm-hmm. why they're doing it. So, I mean, we ourselves are critical. I just think it's the hyper criticizing and the internet that absorbs all of this mm-hmm. and just kind of
because, like, let's present the question: You know, we're in this parish.
Yeah.
This is the cultural environment of the people, mm-hmm. you know. For example, we're doing a huge Our Lady of Guadalupe festival here.
Yeah.
One, because John Paul II loved Our Lady and encouraged devotion as the Empress to the Americas and dedicated us to her. One. But two, you know, we have Hispanic families in the community.
Yeah.
We are tied to her as America, which we don't do too well, that, you know, culturally speaking, but we're bringing in mariachi bands.
Nice.
We're bringing in, you know, true, authentic Mexican food, you know, like the whole thing, yeah. you know, and it's going to be culturally appreciative yeah. of the culture around Our Lady of Guadalupe. Mm-hmm. We can appreciate that and it can enrich us as a community, not detract from, you know, one specific type. Yeah. As Americans, the most beautiful aspect of all of this is we have many cultures.
Yeah.
We have many cultures, and we need to be able to accommodate them.
I learn from the other cultures.
Absolutely.
Like I learn the proclivity to sin is mm-hmm. different,
mm-hmm.
right? The faith and the expression and the beauty of that is different, mm-hmm. you know? It's the same in terms of the faith and the honor and the love, but it's just carried out in a way that's like, wow,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
That's exactly, you know, the concern is, you know, one, there's beauty and diversity, but when it's forced and it's like, I don't see the connection here, like you were saying. Like, yeah. here's all these white women. They're doing an African tribal dance.
Yeah.
What is being represented here?
There's no Africans there. You can take diversity, just like anything. You can take it in the wrong direction,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so that's where this sort of conversation gets started about how you can take that and then you can amplify it on the internet.
That's an important point because, you know, kind of up until this point of the conversation, everything has really been, for being honest, about what traditional leaning people do online.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, really, it's because you don't really see much of this from maybe liberal leaning people. You don't see a lot of arguing. I would conjecture because they just don't care as much, mm-hmm. or it's just not as big of a thing in their daily view because they're maybe focused.
Or they're contributing on a whole different forum.
Yeah, or their arguments are about, you know, socioeconomic things or cultural things where the trads are more worried about.
You're not going to pick
liturgy.
Up that algorithm, right?
Right. I'm probably not seeing it. Cause
I don't either.
Yeah. But I will say to the credit of those on the traditional side, it's because they care.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they want the best of the church. I know yeah. that it is. It's because yeah. they love the church. They want the church to survive, and they're feeling threatened.
Mm-hmm.
They're feeling the church is being grievously threatened and harmed by the modern world, and they're trying to preserve it and go back to a time when the church was strong. But you're going about it the wrong way, in my opinion. I could be wrong, but I think it's the wrong way. Look, if you look at the great saints who celebrated the traditional Latin Mass, I mean, they were full of tenderness and love, and they were out feeding lepers and children and, yeah. you know, doing whatever they could for
and
people.
You could do
that. That was the heart of when the yeah. church was great,
yeah.
you know?
And you could do that in the Novus Ordo as well.
Yeah. you know? Well, you can.
And you
and
know,
have.
Beyond, yeah, yeah. And beyond like just kind of traditional stuff, beyond, you know, like this is, you know, the internet ruining people's faith.
Yeah.
And I just think when there's so much infighting mm. and so much harsh criticism and that you're wishing the Pope death and you're presenting your passion and your taste for things as this needs to be universally adopted and I'm the Pope, mm-hmm. you know, we've got some identity crisis going on in this world. And mm-hmm. to consider that there was a liturgy in the history of the church that hit a golden spot and created utopia in the world.
Not true.
Never happened. Mm-hmm. Never happened.
There is more Catholics now than there was before Vatican II. The growth since Vatican II, particularly in the church in Asia and Africa, has been a higher growth rate than at any point in the history of the church. Now, everyone wants to say the church shrunk after Vatican II. No, it shrunk in Europe and in the West after mm-hmm. Vatican II. And a lot of that has to do with the post-World War II era, the sexual revolution, the rise of technology. And
materialism,
and
relativism,
materialism.
And all other sorts of cultural right. clashing going on where we want to be entertained.
Right. So the misapplication at times of Vatican II, and the way that the church maybe went in the 70s, 80s. And
yeah.
That's really more correlation than causation.
That's right.
But there's other ways, not just so specifically on the nose about faith, that the internet's messing with our faith. And that's because it provides so many false promises to the things that the base human desires, that clouds and obscures what the soul really needs.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's pornography, whether it's instant access to anything that you can want to buy, whether it's jealousy of the other people and the lives that they manufacture to show on Instagram and TikTok mm-hmm. and Facebook that make you think that your life is less, mm-hmm. those things are incredibly damaging to our soul and incredibly damaging to our faith, because our soul is reoriented to things that are base instead of things that are eternal.
Mm-hmm. Very good point. You know, we need transcendence and we need actual relationships. And in the context of a life well lived and lived to its fullest capacity, it's from the fruits of the church on a local level. And it's good that we have digital forums that we could possibly build things very constructive to be resourceful or helpful. But ultimately, we need to realize the importance of our local church, mm-hmm. our neighbor. You know, and we should not be traveling.
Solidarity.
Yeah. It's like we have to have solidarity with our neighbor.
Right.
And it's how the church is structured in canon law. It's like the pastor's responsibility over a parish community is for the salvation of the souls of the people entrusted to him is extended to all people, not just Catholics. Mm-hmm. It's everybody within a parish boundary. And I can't do that without Catholic laity responding with me to the call of Christ yeah. to live out the spiritual and corporal works of mercy and go out and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ risen from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether that's celebrated in Latin, Spanish, you know, the Tridentine Mass that's approved by the bishop.
Doesn't change.
Nowadays.
You know, yeah. or disapprove, whatever yeah. it is, the bishop sets that.
Yeah.
Respect the bishop. He's the successor of the apostle. Yeah. You know, but that it ought to be like, you know, moving us to that.
Yeah.
You know, that's the whole sense of the call. And that was there in the 16th century. That was there in the 18th century. That was there in the 8th century. That was there in the 2nd century.
But not the 7th century.
Not the, no, seventh the Theophylacti, century. Things got very strange.
Now, Theophylacti were in
the 9th century.
9th century.
Yeah.
9th and 10th century. Anyway, technology can often be terrible. But do you know what technology isn't terrible? That's Hollow.
Yeah.
Hollow is the number one Catholic app.
And
it's
right.
a piece of technology that uses technology for the proper orientation, because it's not about the app. It's about using that as a tool to orient you towards God, right? Hollow has all kinds of amazing features using technology to lift your spirit up, right? They have prayer. They have night prayer, Bible stories, Bible in the year, saint of the day, chant. Right? They have all kinds of excellent features, novenas, right? You can go on there and you can pray a novena with 50,000 other people.
It's pretty cool.
It's really cool. That's yeah. a good way to use technology to bring together people around the faith.
Yeah. Pope Benedict XVI said, "The web is contributing to the development of new and more complex intellectual and spiritual horizons. In this field, too, we are called to proclaim our faith. And there is no app in the App Store that does it better
yeah.
than Hallow."
Mm-hmm.
And we try to do that in our own, you know, own form and trying to create conversation. So it's not just these blasts of thought, you know,
yeah.
How do we feel about this topic? Mm-hmm. You know, that's the whole sense. And we need more and more people out there that are willing to go online and try to neutralize some of these isolated battles that are mm-hmm. going on right yeah. now in the church and really not presenting us in a good way.
Yeah. So that's why Hollow is such a nice antidote, such a breath of fresh air.
Thanks be to God for their work.
So if you go to CatholicTalkShow.com/Hollow, HALLOW, that's this one W, you can get Hollow for free. You can try it out for free and see if it's something that works for you.
Yeah.
Now, another great thing that you can do to disconnect from the strife of the internet is get outdoors, guys. Guys.
Put on socks.
No. Turn off the computer. Shut down your devices. Spend some time outside with some other guys. Right? Go out there and do some stuff that isn't online. Experience yeah. the real world.
Yeah.
You know where you can
disconnect.
Do that?
Estovir Expeditions.
There you go. It is an antidote for the people who have been sitting beside computers turning into veals, unhappy veals, right? For years and years and years.
Founded by none other, Father Richard and myself.
Yeah. So Estevir, man, you get to go on these amazing outdoor expeditions where you just get to disconnect from the world. Mm-hmm. Go to really beautiful places like the mountains, the Rocky Mountains of Colorado or Montana, Bozeman, Montana. Yeah. And you get this chance to be around other men in the natural setting, doing cool things like hiking, fishing, sports, praying, mass, right?
Rafting.
And in our country, you know, we had the beautiful work of Teddy Roosevelt, who secured so much natural landscape and preserve in the national forestry of our country. And to be able to go on expedition, that's what Teddy did every time he went through a transition in life or just needed to renew his identity. Mm-hmm. And in the spiritual life, that's exactly what, you know, true retreat is. And to retreat from the world and go out into nature with other brothers and to renew the sense of who you are. Estevir comes from the Latin to be a man and to renew that sense of being in virtue and being a virtuous man and striving after virtue. And after the first pilot that we did, I mean, what a tremendous success, because 100% of the brothers went home, revived, and that community is still alive.
It's amazing. And we're going on 5 trips next year. And
when are the dates, Ryan?
The dates are going to be in June and in July. They're going to be on the website, estevirexpeditions.com. They fill up fast. We had a very long waiting list because we only did one expedition last year. So we have a very big waiting list. And you know, you just go to the website and check to see if they're sold out. Mm-hmm. If they're not, you know.
Now, look, we're just releasing them now.
Yeah.
So they're going to be open, but you definitely want to go and reserve your spot.
And literally, it was like a week and we had a waiting list. So, you know, that's why we're opening it up to other opportunities and more priests are getting involved. Yep. And, I mean, this is just going to be a fantastic summer where guys are just truly going to reconnect.
It's a great fraternity.
That's it
right. So go to Estevir.
Estevir
Expeditions. I'm still used to saying W. There's a link below. You can check that out and see if that's something that can really help you disconnect from the online world and get in touch with nature.
Real conversations.
Your brothers and God.
Real people.
All right.
Yeah.
So we kind of talked about a lot of this stuff and all these kind of nasty comments, but I want to do something fun and nasty.
Here we go.
We are going to read some of the mean comments people have said.
Pull
about
it up on the screen.
Deprecation. I love it. So
I love how you have different files too, like Delacrosse, Pagano.
I have a long memory.
Who has the most in their file?
Oh God, it's me.
Is it really Delacrosse?
Probably because I'm not smart.
No, that's you get a lot of good comments. So we all get good comments, but
we get a lot of good comments.
We're focusing on the bad ones.
Okay, so what I'm gonna do, let's read
it's
a couple.
Fun.
Let's read a couple of the ones that are kind of universal to all of us. And then we'll do the specific ones. You have to read your own mean comment.
That's awesome.
Okay. So
great.
Let's take turns reading the mean ones about all of us as a group. So go ahead, Ryan.
Does anyone else feel like they wasted half this show talking about nonsense and getting off topic and only 3% on the subject?
There were 7 comments underneath that, too.
Yeah, it sounds about like us.
Beware of professional Catholics, especially those who blare horrid rock music and abuse the word awesome.
Awesome, bro!
Awesome, dude!
Awesome.
Please start reading books. Catholics, the doctors of the church, Augustine, Catherine of Siena, Teresa of Avila, Thomas Aquinas, don't be intimidated. Most of what you hear online regarding the faith is dumbed down, polluted, diluted, and usually just plain wrong. I suggest reading The Jesuits by Father Malachi Martin, which reveals the corruption of this once holy order. Please pray the rosary daily.
And then we
awesome.
I wrote that. Awesome content.
I just replied awesome content. Cool story.
Oh my goodness.
Look at that, man. That's to say that Leonora. We haven't read
a lot of great parts of that comment, but I think it's in the context. It's probably
And we would honestly, I'd agree with like you definitely read Augustine, read the fathers, read.
Absolutely.
But who's to say we haven't? See, it's that presumptuous nature that dude, you're a priest.
Well,
you
mentor was one of the leading patristic scholars in the world, and you know defends papers in Oxford every year.
Wow,
but I got to work with his, you know. I am who I am.
My mom told me to turn off your video because she doesn't approve of the devil music at the beginning. Maybe you guys can turn off the devil music and actually take a real trip to see the Tilma of St. Juan Diego with the miraculous image of the ever-virgin Holy Mary. And kneel before your heavenly mother and queen. Bring her all your sorrows and supplications. She may obtain her divine son, all that you ask for. Just a suggestion. All right, Gustavo, brother.
We've already done
we've
that.
We've done that, dude.
We consecrated this show to her on our knees.
There.
In front of that miraculous image.
And devil music.
Thanks for being understanding.
Devil music, dude. Our theme song, if you think that is devil music, holy moly.
Yeah.
It's an instrumental, number one. There's no lyrics. If you play it backwards, nothing happens. Nothing happens, I promise. It's like kind
if you
of
play it backwards.
It's kind of like 50-year-old blues rock, dude. Oh, it's not a big deal.
That's so funny. Oh,
goodness. All right, let me pull
he
up another one.
He brought his mom into that.
You, dude, your mom's telling you to turn it off? That guy looks 50 looks like years an adult. Old.
He still listens to his mama. Oh, I'm going to support you on this that. One. I listen to my mama.
That's right.
Richie, man. You got to read this one. This which is the one. Which
one? Josephine up there?
Yeah.
All right, let's see. You are all a disgrace to the word Catholic. Ouch! Satan is fast taking over the world, and you just sit there telling your jokes. You should be fasting, making sacrifices, serving penance, praying, attempting to save souls, not messing about sending people on their way to perdition. Shame on you all.
Father Rich, when you tell a joke, you are damning people to H-E double hockey sticks, dude.
May the
are
you Lord making have sacrifices mercy. At the Mass?
Are you making sacrifices? Are you fasting?
I try to do it every day. I try. I mean, I've made some sacrifices, but I think I need to do more.
She says in below, do you think Jesus went about telling jokes?
One of my favorite images of Jesus is the laughing Jesus.
Yeah, but that's a Jesuit trick. That didn't actually happen. You are a disgrace to the world Catholic because we tell jokes. Listen, listen.
How Christ did you find us, Josephine?
I know.
You don't watch us. If laughing is too un-Catholic for you.
Yeah, sorry, man.
Yeah.
Look. Well, you know, the joy comes from the mercy that God shows us and him just loving us the way he does. Like, it's just, you rest in that, you enjoy it, you praise it.
Oh, my goodness. Laughter is one of the greatest renewals, you know, like renewing gifts.
Yeah.
That these God guys, gives you. The martyrs would go to their death singing and laughing in joy because they knew Christ had won the victory. Mm-hmm. Sorry if laughing offends you. Go watch someone else.
Yeah, because this is we've laughed on every episode.
And we're going to keep laughing. And you know what? We're laughing about your comment right now. Turn it around on you.
The Stonehouse Farm says, these guys are idiots and high on something.
High on Jesus.
No one talks about the subjects and laugh and joke like this. I'm so pissed because I really was into believing Catholic faith was true. But they just changed my mind.
Oh, no. One
we
show.
We are going to hear about show. That when we enter the when we're at the pearly gates. We're going to hear about
man.
This one.
Right.
Stonehouse Farm is going to hell because we're laughing and joking around.
But you know what? He was right there about to convert. Uh-huh. But because we laughed,
it's the takeaway.
And he clicked on the Catholic talk show.
Right. It's the takeaway.
And listened to us boneheads, and now he's absolutely
all the momentum.
I think it's your fault.
It's got to be my fault. Yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah. No, I'll take that one. I'll take that one. That is my fault.
All right, this one's about me or
no
this is all of us so far.
Get behind me, Satan.
So the at Catholic talk show, get behind me, Satan. Get off the internet and stop deceiving people, lest you end up like Arius. Oh, Lord have mercy. Okay, St. Nicholas. The new mass is an
ecumenist's
self-indulged picnic. It mocks the Last Supper and Christ's sacrifice at Calvary.
No, Christ's sacrifice.
That is sacrifice.
Read all the misspellings.
At Calvary by falsely
Calvary
claiming
with an E.
Jesus died for all. I'm not a subscriber. Wicked YouTube puts this modernist garbage in my feed as paid advertising.
We don't pay for advertising.
Never have. You will note that the guy in the upper right has in the background a ceremonial sword used for occult rituals. Really?
I do. Let me just tell you, the occult rituals.
I had no idea you
I have
were
a
like
sword
that.
For that. I mean, this dude knows that.
How does he know that you participate in these occult rituals
with
your
sword?
Paid advertising. Well,
now, this one I love. Keep going.
Okay. Can you enlarge it just a little bit? He also makes a cornice hand sign hole picking up his libation
my
cup.
My libation cup?
Coffee? I don't know. Look closely at how he holds it. It's weird. Who holds a mug like that?
Okay, here's what he's talking about. Dante Prudente, shut your mouth. Okay. I have incredibly huge hands, okay? They're like absolute Slovenian coconut mashers. I hold a coffee cup like this. Because I can't fit my fingers in the coffee lips.
I've never seen you hold a cup, because I'm always over here. So, I feel really awkward with you right now.
But I hold my coffee cup like this because it's easier to like maneuver. If I try to get my fingers in here, my hand's too big.
You know, it's cornice hand sign, hole picking.
I don't even know what that means.
What does that mean? I don't know.
A cornice
anyways, with your libation cup. Why don't you just get a bigger libation cup?
You mean my coffee cup? Cult. I denounce all of that, okay?
Your hand needs to go on a diet so you can get your plump fingers through the...
Look at this. I got the fat condition fingers. Known as hot dog fingers. Look, fat dude, fingers. I'm sorry. I got big hands on my grandpa's Knights of Columbus sword. I'm not doing freaking occult rituals and throwing up cornice.
So that's
hand
what the
signs?
Knights of Columbus do.
I knew it.
What in God's good grace?
Oh, God.
Well, praise the Lord.
That's good stuff. I'm all about it, man. Thanks, Dante. Dork.
Is this you?
I'll read this one.
Did you?
Who is directing and advising these guys?
Howard Trent.
Yeah. All the laughter, joking, and kidding around is so annoying and disgusting. Great content, but hard to watch.
I like that one a lot.
Great content, but hard to watch. We're disgusting, annoying, but hey, good content.
I love it.
That's Marv.
I think that one's my favorite so far.
That is Marv-a-less.
Deli, you want to take this one?
This is the epitome of Nero fiddling while Rome burns. Three apparently grown men sat around talking about magic water, LOL.
Nero was the one burning down Rome. Like what? So you're saying that we're participating in lighting these fires, huh?
We're apparently grown men, too.
Apparently.
That looks like
next.
A fake account.
A burner.
These
account.
Bobbleheads got to go. What in the world do people
man,
have?
Man, we get so much hate about our bobbleheads.
Our bobbleheads.
You guys are worshiping. Okay, we either get.
You're wearing socks with saints on them, too.
We either get that we are Catholic idolatrous because of our statues, or we get you guys are childless playing with your dolls, or we get these are blasphemous and you are. You know,
sacrilege.
Sacrilegious.
Sacrilegious. Yeah, it's sacrilegious. So.
Well, guess what, Sue? Yeah. They're not going anywhere.
Didn't we have
you
a...
What
are...
do you think about this?
Yeah.
What do you...
Jesus playing hoops and Dikembe Mutombo-ing this kid.
There you go.
Oh, gosh, that's weird.
I don't even know what this is.
That is William Cramer the Third.
Okay. Idolater, bobblehead, ooh. Sue, we're going to get a bobblehead to you and put it on the set. What do you think about that?
Shout out Billy Kramer.
All right. Now, let's get into some ones that kind of, those were all ones about us as a group. Actually.
Oh, now we're getting into Delacrosse?
Hold on. This is my favorite
this
comment.
This is what I've been waiting
for. This is my favorite comment of all time that we ever got. Because, man, it's funny. Someone comments, what is this? A golf dad? A lumberjack in a flannel and a gay priest? No, thank you. Favorite comment we ever got.
Oh, my gosh.
I do like playing golf.
And my ancestors are lumberjacks.
And apparently I like golfing dads and lumberjacks. In your dreams, guys. All right.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
So Delacrosse. This is I cannot wait. Why does that guy pick his nose during the show?
Oh, no, there's one like that, I believe. Hold on. Okay.
Very nice, except for that silly guy in the right bottom rectangle who acts like being in a bar. How do you act like being in a bar? Okay.
I don't know. By sitting there, by being in the middle of an episode, and some guy coming up behind you drinking wine and sitting down on your lap.
Oh, was that episode?
No, that's funny.
I remember that one.
That was amazing. I looked at your face in that. I'm like,
yeah,
that was a great episode. designer teeth.
All right. So this is about you, Father.
Oh, Sammy, I get to read this? Yeah. Okay. A bunch of phonies, a priest with designer teeth, flogging merch, support our channel. The only thing this bunch of charlatans have in mind is money. Quell, surprise, guess who has scapulars for sale?
Not us.
For you lot, our transparency is glass. Wolves in sheep's clothing come to mind with this lot of opportunists.
Now we responded.
His teeth are real, and they're spectacular.
Guys, we make no money from this show. Gracious. If any one of us tried to live off of what this show generates, we would be poor.
Yeah.
We wouldn't actually even be able to eat for more than a week, right? We actually, you know what? We would have enough money to live the rest of our lives if our lives were going to last 48 hours.
Oh,
okay?
Gosh. I don't even think we need to respond to that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You know, we help other Catholic organizations who are creating goods, promote their stuff.
Yeah.
We don't get much money
from
this.
We're developing Catholic culture here. Yeah. You know, we're trying to reclaim it.
Yeah, and the money that we have
with our friendships and develop relationships.
And the money that our patrons give us gets reinvested into, number one, the plane flights to come out here and cameras and stuff like that. That's about it. We don't, you know, it's not a money-making adventure, guys.
No.
Sorry. We're not good at that. All right, this one's about me. Abby Castaneda. Abby, I'm sorry you dislike me. That's okay. Love your show most of the time. Why does Shield talk so much? His pauses are annoying. I don't like it when Shield says that Father Rich is not Father Mike.
Thank you, Abby. You are my new favorite.
Sometimes he, Shield, treats Father Rich like a drinking buddy. We drink a lot together.
Yeah.
Not respectful to the collar. Relationship between Father and Delacrosse is inspiring.
Yay!
Reflects a brotherhood connection.
Oh,
you too.
Bleep that out. Well, I've got to say that I would completely agree.
Abby, do you know why I talk so much? Because I have to fill up 45 minutes. Because if I don't, these two will just say, what are we talking about? I don't know. And we'll just sit there and stare at each other. I'm doing my best. I'm the ombudsman of the
Abby,
show.
Let me tell you that, you know, I'll tell you, this man right here has so much respect for the church, so much respect for priesthood. He has supported me personally so many times by picking up the phone and looking out for me. He is a great man and absolutely supports the priesthood.
This show is a source for our own personal growth and our faith as well.
And we're just journeying as brothers, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so, and
that's my love language.
But when it comes to his slams that I'm not Father Mike, thank you very much.
Standing up for the man.
Thank you for standing up for me.
She doesn't like when I say it. She doesn't disagree.
Well, if you disagree, make another comment, okay?
That's all right, Abby. I'm trying my best, man.
That's so funny.
All right, let's get another.
Phonies.
Bunch of phony, baloney, hippy dippy bull crap.
What does this guy do? Who's this?
This is for you, Delacrosse.
He spits his
F's. Just read the whole thing.
Read it.
Okay. I'm blessed to hear this show. In my humble opinion, Delacrosse talks too close to the mic. He spits his F's, P's, and inhalations.
Sure.
Thank you. Oh my gosh.
Hello, maybe Gerard is like a speech coach or something like that.
Yeah.
Because I don't, you know, you spit your F's and your P's and your inhalations.
I'll take that criticism.
That's okay. In stride.
Yeah.
We're going to me. All right, I'm going to take a deep breath. Do yourselves a favor and cast off the modernist liberal priest you feature on this show.
James, thank you.
Thanks, James.
Thanks,
good advice.
James.
We've been trying. Father Mike won't return our calls.
So we're going to set up a shrine in the corner here.
We are.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, this one's for me. Ryan Scheel literally never smiles or laughs. He'd probably be better off at church militant.
That is great.
Yeah. That is so funny, man.
Me gusta.
Golly.
Smile a lot, that. Dude. Come on.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm constantly joking around, smiling. Whatever.
You joke. You might not smile, but you joke. I don't think he's mentioning that.
Yeah, well, Whatever. Hey, Boris, call me, dude. Let's get a contract. Ditch these two dudes.
You got to leave the modernist
and priest. Finally start making some money.
Yeah, finally make some money, and I can then support my sword and my...
your cult practices.
Look, I can afford a coffee cup that fits my fingers. And I don't have to keep throwing up the...
You got, like, Paul's Kibasi fingers, man.
What do you want, dude? All right, who are we on? We're on. Are we on you?
Are we we're on
Delacross.
I like when we go to Delacross. This is great.
That's not bad.
Read it.
Wow, Delacross was full on Delacross this episode.
That you can be Delacross. That you could be Delacross. That's like that movie Kingpin to say, yeah, he really got Munson out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, yeah. All right, we got time for one more comment. I think it lands on me. So let's enlarge this. And
it's funny you should say enlarge. Really? No.
Is Father Rich growing fat, or am I looking at him sad for the first time? My goodness gracious.
Dude, that's why would you say that?
I'm going on a diet tomorrow, okay?
Fat shamed.
You're getting fat shamed. Why? Dude, you're in good shape.
I feel so lucky to be a part of the community of people who are fat shamed. No, I am working on it, okay? I'm working on it.
All right, let's go get some dinner.
Hey, let's get some pizza. Want some pizza?
Hey, go up to this gas station. Chicken, I can take meatballs for me.
I mean, look how thin my bobblehead is.
Oh, you're so sacrilegious.
I know.
A bobblehead, nice statue worshiping.
Right next to
Nacho
Jack Black.
You know what you should do at this point? Swap the heads. Yeah,
that's pretty cool. That's great.
Well, then.
All right. Well, okay. I am an occultist with a sword who's throwing up demon stuff who never stops talking. You are a drunk guy who goes full on Delacross, who spits his P's and inhales his F's.
I'm a fat modernist priest.
Fat modernist priest, you make the modern world go round.
Yeah. Well, I hope you enjoyed this. I hope you enjoyed this episode. This was clearly more enjoyable than I was thinking.
Yeah, we're all going to go cry now.
So thank you for commenting so brutally on our show. We hope that you're still subscribed and you continue to share with all your friends this good content that you cannot have anywhere else. So a big shout out to our patrons who make us rich. Thank you for supporting our wealth.
And supporting my demon sword habits.
And I'm going to go get some speech therapy with all my money.
And we all know what Father's doing with his money.
Eating.
At a gay bar.
Let's go get some food, guys. And we'll see you next week.